A reading from the book of Sirach. I bud forth the lights like the vine. My blossoms become fruit, fair and rich. Come to me, all you that yearn for me, and be filled with my fruits. You will remember me as sweeter than honey, better to have than the honeycomb. Whoever eats of me will hunger still. Whoever drinks of me will thirst for more. Whoever obeys me will not be put to shame. Whoever serves me will never fail. The word of the Lord. O Mary, you are all fair. There's no blemish in you. Arise, my beloved, my beautiful one, and come, for your voice is sweet and you are lovely. O Mary, you are all fair. Come from Lebanon, my bride. You have ravished my heart, my sister, my bride. And the fragrance of your garments is the fragrance of Lebanon. You are an enclosed garden, my sister, my bride. An enclosed garden, a fountain sealed. You are a garden fountain, a well of water flowing fresh from Lebanon.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to Mary, the angel said, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But Mary was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Verbum Domini. Today we celebrate a votive mass in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Fairest Love. We say that Jesus, of course, is the expression of fairest love, his most beautiful love, and Mary is also tota pulchra est. She is the all-beautiful one herself and sharing in this love as well. But she's the mother of Jesus, so she has this title, Mother of Fairest Love. And we see this phrase in the book of Sirach, in the Vulgate version, Mother of Fairest Love, and in the Song of Solomon that we heard today, the responsorial psalm of this Mother of Fair Love. And we see, of course, you know, Mary is this beautiful one, and has this beautiful love for us as well. In the Annunciation scene that we have today, we're told that the Virgin's name was Mary, and the angel, Archangel Gabriel, came to her and addresses her, not using her name Mary, but calling her full of grace. "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." And she's troubled at what sort of greeting this might be. It's unusual, right? And she has humility. She has humility. She doesn't think of herself that way. And this grace that she's given in her Immaculate Conception is part as a participation in divine nature. It is the light of God Himself, as it's been said, flooding the soul and adorning it with supernatural beauty. The light of God flooding her soul. It makes the soul radiant with supernatural beauty. When we ourselves receive sanctifying grace from God, there's a beauty to us in our souls that's manifested in our virtues and our behaviors, and also adorned with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In the Song of Songs, we have the response today, well, it's taken from Song of Solomon 4:7, "You are all fair, my love. There is no flaw in you." We see the Song of Solomon, or Lord of the Song of Songs, it's called, as this meditation, this description of marital love, conjugal love. And it's also taken up to be an image of God's love for us. "So you are all fair, my love. There is no flaw in you." It's describing the gaze of the lover upon his beloved. You know, in describing Mary, we see she's seen as a reflection, a participation of the divine love for us. She's our mother in the order of grace. She has this fair love for us. So this gaze upon the beloved and seeing the fairness of the fair beautifulness of the beloved is more than physical beauty. It's a moral and spiritual. A fair love sees the other as a person, not as a thing to be used, even in a mutual way. Never, the other person can never be considered just an object. This gaze of the lover upon the beloved sees the person as body, soul, and spirit, and we are called to have a reverence or respect for the other. and ultimately seeing the other person as a gift. We're called to make a sincere gift of ourselves to others, to have a disinterested love in the other in the sense that it's just not what I get from you, what I'm taking from you. And John Paul II would point out so beautifully that this call to be a gift, to be, and said in Vatican II as well, that we discover ourselves in the sincere giving of ourselves. John Paul would write beautifully about how it's written in our very bodies, the complementarity of the sexes, the conjugal act, you know, the gift of one to the other. It's incarnate there in us, that we are called to do this in our love and spiritually to the other. And this is all a description of fair love, of this beautiful love that we're called to have. Now in Sirach, it wasn't in the text we had today. It's a few verses later, and in the Vulgate translation, but it says in verse 24, I am the mother of fair love, and of fear, and of knowledge, and of holy hope. And me is all grace of the way and of the truth. And me is all hope of life and of virtue. This chapter 24 is kind of the high point. It's a beautiful hymn to divine wisdom personified. And we see in Sirach that wisdom is spoken of as a companion to God, being there with God, in God, from the beginning. And in a sense, the theologians see in it as a preparation for the coming revelation of the Trinity, that Jesus is wisdom incarnate. And the liturgy of the church applies this chapter, literally, of Sirach 24 to the Blessed Virgin Mary because of her intimate association with Jesus. That since the 10th century, this passage, Mother of Fair Love, has been used in Masses of Our Lady, and particularly on Saturdays, in votive Masses, in honor of her. So she is the mother of the incarnate wisdom, is the mother of this beautiful, fair love. So in our Catholic tradition, words about wisdom is applied, these descriptions of wisdom is applied to Mary as well. So Mary, of course, is beautiful. She has this spiritual beauty. It's more than physical beauty. That this beauty is a radiance of her holiness. It's a radiance of the truth of God. We can say that about God's holiness in itself. His truth has this splendor, has this beauty. So because she is full of grace and adorned with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, she is the one who is all fair. No flaw is in her. She turns from sin and loves. This is the beauty that comes from the Holy Spirit, that sin has no part of her. She's turning from that and living a life of love. So she loves her son and the human race as our spiritual mother with a love that's filled with this beauty. We call it fair love. It's a love that is virginal, it's bridal, maternal. She's symbols and images of all this. It's a love that is truthful, that is sacred, that is radiant with God's presence. A love that is radiant with God's presence. I love that description. If God is love, the more a person has this love poured into his heart or her heart, God's presence is there in a powerful way. You can experience that with some people that are holy. When you encounter them and their love for us and for others, you see the presence of God there. So she shares in the mysteries of Jesus' life, of his conception, of his birth, of his death and resurrection. She shares in God's saving plan with courage and gentleness, cooperation and fidelity, participating in this fair love. So the love between a man and a woman manifests this love. Now we struggle with a fallen human nature, But still, we speak of that conjugal love as a sacramental sign of Trinitarian love, that it's a mirror, it's a reflection of divine love. This Trinitarian love is brought down to earth in the sacrament of holy matrimony. That through the love of a man and woman, God is sending his love upon the world. It's a participation in that. So as we have a reverence or respect for this love, we can foster it. It gives us a sense of the divine when we participate in it, when we recognize it. We're called to recognize this fairest love, this making a gift of oneself to the other. And in celibacy as well. You know, the celibate is called to witness to this love, giving himself to God, and is an image of the destiny of the whole church to belong to God as bride and bridegroom. The celibate is called to witness to that here on earth, and that's the goal of all of us in heaven, right? There's no giving and taking of marriage in heaven. This is that the fulfillment of marriage, this fulfillment of fairest love is belonging to God himself, united with one another. So this marital fair love is not a satisfaction of concupiscence or mutual use. It's this loftiest of love that we're called to have. Isn't that beautiful? Sometimes we can lose a vision of that in this fallen world and in just our own struggle for holiness. Sometimes we can lose hope that it is really possible, that this is beyond us. Well, it is. We need to call upon God for help. Romans 5:5, to call upon that Holy Spirit, that love's poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That it's possible when I ask God for it. I just heard the most beautiful reflection. It's so simple. But at the Divine Office, maybe you've watched this at Vespers on Sundays and stuff, but we begin by saying, "Oh God, come to my assistance. You know, Lord, oh Lord, make haste to help me." And just to use that as a simple prayer, "God, come to my assistance. You know, Lord, make haste to help me." That's a prayer that we can say throughout the day when we need help to love in this way, when we need help to overcome ourselves, to overcome sin. Lord, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. It's a way of depending on God throughout the day. There's something that's so easy to say, and I can say it just when I'm walking into difficult situations or struggling with whatever temptation. Come to me, Lord. Come to my assistance. Help me. And Mary, the mother of fairest love, is there to help foster that love in us, to nurture it, to encourage it in us, to be a witness to it, to think of Mary and think of the beauty of that grace in her, that can inspire us to strive for that, not to give in to the ugliness of sin and self-centeredness, but to keep our eyes on her, to ask for her prayers, that she can help us have this kind of love for one another and for God.